Hello and welcome to episode 50 of Personalities at Carey, your very own WP Carey MBA podcast. Today, we are in conversation with Drew Munson. Drew is first and foremost an avid rock climber. He has a background in engineering and has worked for Intel before coming back to school for an MBA. Drew is concentrating in business analytics and supply chain and has interned at Flex over the summer of 2018. Let's get to know him better in our conversation with Drew Munson. Hello everyone, we are here with Drew Munson for our episode 50 of Personalities at Carey. Drew, say hi to our listeners.
Hi everybody.
Nice. So let's get started with your background. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing so far after your undergrad, where you worked, what brought you to the MBA, and why you chose WP Carey as your school.
Okay. So I graduated from University of Texas in 2012 with a mechanical engineering degree, and after that I started working at Intel as a process engineer in their semiconductor factory here in Arizona. And I did that off and on for 6 years before I decided to come back and get my MBA. I say off and on because I actually worked there three different times at Intel. Once as an intern while I was still doing my undergrad degree. And then I came back full-time there and I worked full-time for 2 years. And then I took a kind of out-of-cycle sabbatical where I left the company, went and traveled around out of a backpack for a year with my girlfriend at the time. Now she's my wife. Then at the end of that year, that was in 2015, we both got our jobs back at Intel in the factory. Then maybe a year into that, I was getting a little bit restless with my job. I was good at the job, but there wasn't a lot of growth opportunity. Because in semiconductors, you really need to have like a PhD to understand like what's really going on like a molecular level. And I wasn't that interested in what really is going on a chemical level. I was more interested in like the day-to-day operations, the problems, like we've got so many things that we have to do, but there's only so many resources to do them, and yet how to prioritize the work that's going to happen. I was interested in that, those type of problems, so more business type issues than engineering problems. So I'd recognized the need for more education in my career, and I didn't want to get more technical, so I didn't want to do engineering. So I started looking at business schools. That's how I kind of wound up looking at MBA programs. And then ASU turned out to be the best program for me and my family, because I could stay in town. My wife could stay at Intel with her job. I wouldn't have to move her. And it was actually the only school that I applied to, and I got in. So it was nice. Yeah, it all worked out.
Very lucky. And with your backpacking experience, where all did you go?
Oh, man. So we went, the first leg of it I did by myself. I went to Italy. No, that's not. I went to Italy later. I went to Greece and Turkey. And that was primarily to rock climb on the Mediterranean limestone that's in those countries. And then after that, I went to South America, to Peru. I met up with Angela, or she met me there. We backpacked around Peru for a month. We did Machu Picchu. We did basically all of the Inca things, saw everything that the Incas left behind for us. And then we also played in the mountains around Juarez. After that, we went to Eastern Europe for the summer, and we were in Hungary and Croatia, Poland. And then from there, we went to Asia. We were in China for like 11 weeks, and that was my favorite country that we visited. We also went to Japan, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand. and Malaysia and Singapore.
So was this planned the day you left first, or is it like on the go?
We had like an itinerary, like kind of mapped out like the different countries we wanted to be at based on what was a good season to be there, like the weather's right. And we actually pretty much stuck to the itinerary. Mm-hmm. We had some friends that we had to meet on certain dates, so that kind of kept us to the plan. But as far as like what we were doing on each day and which days we were traveling different cities, that was all just kind of planned on the fly.
Good. So since you've been at ASU, how's your experience been so far with the people and the course curriculum or anything outside, like the career services, events, groups, clubs, etc.?
It's been great. It's kind of overwhelming at times because there's so many options and things to do. And the coursework, obviously overwhelming, especially in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's been a good experience. What do you want me to elaborate on?
It's just anything that has stood out to you apart from like every day you come to school and it's the same thing, but then sometimes you come up with, like you get these emails about these events are happening and you're like, wow, this, I didn't expect this to happen in the MBA.
Okay. So the things that were unexpected is probably just the intense friendships that we've been able to develop with each other. Through the core teams, like those teams are some intense bonding times. And then it seems like all of the people who came to WB Carey from out of state or out of town or had to move here and didn't have like their own network of friends already established in Arizona, those people really like are tightly knit, and it's cool to see that and then also participate in that community of like people who came here just for the MBA program. I really feel like a strong connection with those people, as opposed to the people who are already living in Arizona, because they've already got friends here and, you know, it's not as difficult to make that transition. And then probably the really standout thing in the program that I've done is the trip to Japan, that we did over fall break last semester. That was a really special time, learning about Japan from a business perspective, exploring the nightlife with my MBA friends. It was unforgettable.
Nice. And when you came to the MBA, you probably came in to do the supply chain concentration, is that right?
Yep. Yeah, supply chain and analytics.
Okay, so you've stuck with the concentrations you came in to do.
Yep.
Okay. And of the courses that you've taken so far, do you have a favorite course you want to recommend others to take up?
Yeah, the one course that I think is probably going to be the most valuable to my career going forward would be enterprise analytics. And that's the course where they teach you SQL.
Okay.
I, as an engineer back at Intel, if I dabbled with SQL, but I didn't really like know how to use it to like the extent that it can be. And knowing what I know now, if I went back to that job, I would absolutely crush it. And even on my internship over the summer last year, I used SQL quite a bit, and it was like impressive to people who were at the company who didn't know how to use SQL, and they were like, how is this intern getting all this data? And it's pretty easy. You learn a little bit of code in that enterprise class, and you know, learn how databases fit together and work together and how all the tables are connected. And then all of a sudden you can pull up a bunch of data, defend all of your arguments really neatly. And so I'm looking forward to using the skills I learned in that class going forward.
Okay. And you mentioned your internship. I think you interned at Flex this summer, right? How was your experience getting that internship in the first place?
So Flex was like not even on my radar at all. I had never heard of them when I applied. It was a job rec on WPC Connect. They're a contract manufacturer, so in the electronics industry. So I had a little bit of, I guess I had ties to the industry already and some relevant work experience coming from a manufacturing facility. So that's kind of why I was interested in the job. And then, so I applied, I had a phone interview over the Christmas break, and then a couple more Skype interviews, and then they offered me a job, I think sometime in either February or March.
Okay, so there was no on-site interview?
No on-site interview, okay. No.
Okay. And is this in Texas or?
Yeah, so Flexes, they're headquartered in Singapore for tax purposes, but they're actually ran out of an office in Santa Clara, California, and recently, in the last like couple of years, they've been moving all of their supply chain functions to Austin because it's a more affordable city to, you know, have that office. So my internship was located in Austin, Texas.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your particular role and your project over the summer?
Yeah. So I worked in a group called Advanced Sourcing. What Advanced Sourcing does is they help develop the supply chain strategy for like a new product for a customer. So say Google comes in and they want to make a new Chromecast. So they hire Flex to manufacture all the Chromecasts, but they don't necessarily know, you know, which USB port they're going to use or what different components are. So Flex will help Google select suppliers for those different subcomponents.
Okay.
And Advanced Sourcing, they're a group that has a pulse on the market intelligence, so they know what's out there for these new components, what all the suppliers are providing. And then they're also in tune with what the customers are doing, all the new projects, and they kind of help connect the dots between the suppliers' current offerings and the customers' current needs. In my project, I had a couple projects. I'll just tell you about maybe the main one. I made a, basically like a, we called it the Supplier Innovation Portal, but what it was is a website on the company's extranet where suppliers could log in to the Flex site and see data on how much spend they had with the company. So say Qualcomm wants to know, you know, how much money that Flex is spending with them and how much, what categories it's in, which design centers, is generating that demand. They can see that all on a dashboard on this website. And then also other features is that they could have direct lines of communication with engineers from Flex that worked in the design centers. So there was like chat box functions, contact information was on there. And so this is so that if an engineer who's trying to design in this supplier into a new product, they can know who to talk to on the supplier side, you know, from an engineering perspective. So that way they're not just talking to salespeople, they're actually talking, engineers are talking to engineers.
Okay.
So I built out all those features on this website, and onboarded a couple preferred suppliers, like five of them, to get the website up and running. Mm-hmm. And then going forward, they're going to be onboarding the rest of their preferred suppliers. So that way, it's really kind of a product for the engineer so that they can have better contact with the suppliers to get the information they need to make the right sourcing decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do the engineers kind of make decisions on the specs and all based on what's available to the suppliers?
So yeah, the engineers will, so they're designing a new product. They're designing like a smart speaker or something for a client. Mm-hmm. So say Amazon wants to build a new Alexa, so they might have Flex design, you know, most of it. Okay. And just put the Amazon sticker on it.
All right.
And so the engineers at Flex would say, you know, we need a speaker, we need like a transducer, we need a battery pack and stuff like that. And so they basically, they'll decide which supplier or which component they want to buy. And then advanced sourcing will facilitate making sure that the engineer has all the information about which suppliers are good or bad. And then they also review the BOM, the bill of materials, and make sure that for the components they selected, that it's actually the best component that's going to make the most sense for Flex. Mm-hmm. So if there's like a, you know, they pick one transistor, but there's like five of them on the market that are equivalent, the advanced sourcing would come in and say, we can actually save like 2 cents per part mm-hmm. if we switch to this other one from a preferred supplier. And then the engineer would go back, make sure that that part was actually plug and play and you could switch it out. And then, so that's kind of how the process worked with the initial BOM is made, and then advanced sourcing kind of reviews it, makes recommendations for how we could change it and save money in the supply chain. And then the engineers would, approve those changes, and that's kind of how that would work.
Okay.
But it's important in the beginning, when the BOM is created, that's when it's important. That's basically when the supply decision is made.
Mm-hmm.
So right when that first BOM is made, that's what needs to be adjusted and modified. Because later on, when you get to like your prototyping phase, it's really hard to change the BOM. Mm-hmm. So that's what was cool about advanced sourcing, is you get to be there when the first supply decisions are made, mm-hmm. or the first sourcing decisions are made.
Mm-hmm. So we did talk about your backpacking and the fact that you like rock climbing. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else in terms of hobbies outside of school when you have some time to yourself that you do?
Rock climbing is definitely like the main one. I've traveled all over the world on rock climbing trips, and whenever I have free time, vacation, it tends to be a rock climbing trip. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I really love to read fantasy novels. So every day on my commute, I'm listening to books on tape, and they're like high fantasy. Okay. Right now I'm reading The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan, and it's like a 13 book series.
Nice. Any other books you want to recommend?
So over the summer I read this one called The Name of the Wind mm-hmm. by Peter Rothfuss, or maybe Patrick Rothfuss. It's called The Name of the Wind. It's really good. It's written from a first-person perspective about this hero as he's like coming of age and becoming a hero and realizing all of his powers.
Mm-hmm. And apart from like books, do you watch like TV shows or movies? Anything you want to recommend? Your favorite ones?
There's a show that I have been watching with my wife called The Magicians.
Okay.
So nerdy. But yeah, it's like if Harry Potter were, instead of the main characters are like these adolescents, it's college age students or like masters, or I guess graduate aged students who are learning magic for the first time. Mm. And there's all this like R-rated material, like they're having relationships with each other, and you know, people are dying left and right, and there's bad guys and stuff. So it's like Harry Potter, but more like,
is that also British, or is it
that one? No, it's I think it's based in Portland. That's the city.
Okay.
Where they are.
Okay. It's got how many seasons out now?
So 3 seasons are on Netflix currently. Okay. And the 4th season will be airing I think in February on live TV.
Okay. What about movies?
Movies?
Yeah.
I don't really watch many movies.
No. Okay.
I mean, I see the ones, you know, that are in theaters or whatnot, but...
All right. So how about a genre of music that you love and maybe a favorite artist?
Okay. I love EDM.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when we were talking about hobbies, I could have said that I'm a raver, but I'm kind of retired. I'm trying to distance myself from my raving past. But I still like EDM music a lot. Recently, I guess all-time favorite DJ is Deadmau5.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've been listening to Kidnap and Ben Bomer.
Okay. How about telling us who would be your favorite person in history you would like to have coffee with or chat with to get to know them better? Anyone who's alive or dead is fine.
I would like to meet Steve Jobs.
Okay. That's it. Everybody knows about Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Who? Is there something specific about him that you want to know?
Yeah, well, I don't know anything specific, but he's got a really interesting past. Like, he started Apple Computers, and then he got fired from them. The board fired him, and then he started Pixar and had, like, huge success, and then Apple wanted him back, and then he came back to Apple and just, like, blew the company up and made it wildly successful. So I'd like to just, you know, hear some of those war stories.
Nice. Have you read his autobiography? No, biography by, what's his name?
No, we haven't done it.
Okay.
Right. But I should.
Okay. That kind of gives you a lot more insight into his life.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have any pet peeves you want to tell us about?
Pet peeves? I really hate roundabouts, like in traffic, especially in the States, because no one knows how to use them. Mm. So like if I'm, like in Sedona, they have them. And I really hate it when people like slow down when they come up to the roundabout instead of just like merging in and going. I don't know why, but it makes my blood boil.
I think there's also, if there are two lanes, then like the people on the right have to yield or something like that, right? So they get confused, I guess.
Yeah, it's confusing, but it should be more efficient, but it's not because people know how to use them.
Do you know about these new things that they're trying with ramps, where they're doing this, some kind of diamond, instead of having traffic lights at the ramps out of the freeways, then it's gonna like drop down the accident rate over there.
Oh really?
Yeah, you need to watch, like there's some videos on YouTube that say that this is very efficient. Really? But I find them confusing when there's like a helicopter view of where they've done it already.
Is this for highways?
It's for when you're getting off of highways.
Okay. So
the ramps that get, yeah, anyways. So what are you going to do after graduation? Do you have a job lined up or do you have some other plans?
I have a job lined up. I got accepted into Amazon's Operations Pathways program.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm going to be working as a manager in a fulfillment center for Amazon.
Okay. Do you already know where you're going to be?
I don't know specifically where. I got placed in the Pacific region, so that means either California or Nevada. Mm-hmm. And based on the where they're located, there's a big concentration of FCs in like East LA and also in the Bay Area, so probably one of those two cities.
Okay. And what do you want to do maybe 10 years from now? Where do you see yourself?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a good question. I see myself raising a family. I want to have kids by then. Living somewhere in the West Coast. I don't know if I'll still be with Amazon at that point. But if I am at Amazon, I don't envision myself still being at a fulfillment center. One of the career paths they mentioned to me when I was interviewing was... after you're done with the Pathways program, basically you know everything about how a fulfillment center operates and the automation technology that they use. So they said you can go work at corporate afterwards, or you can stay in the FC ecosystem, or as another option, you can go and do research on like the next round of automation technology that they would be using in those centers. And that really kind of interested me. So kind of a tentative goal would be to eventually be doing automation research for Amazon.
Okay. So now that you've been through a year and a half of your MBA, do you have any advice or something that you look back and say that if I had done this differently, my life here would have been easier?
Is there something? So I think the biggest challenge for me was kind of knowing like how I fit into the MBA culture and like how I fit in with my classmates. And I think I came here thinking that I had something to prove. And I that was a hindrance. I really don't have anything to prove except maybe to myself. And so my attitude has kind of shifted towards like how I want to be, how I want to come across in class and when I am outside of class. And I really don't need to be trying to impress anyone. Mm. I really just need to be myself and, you know, living up to my own standards, but not trying to live up to anyone else's.
That's pretty good advice.
Yeah.
And how would you like your peers to remember you once you're done?
Actually, I got that as an interview question once. Okay. Flex asked me that for my, I guess, in the third round interview. But so my answer to that is I want to be remembered as someone that people have fun around. I think it's important, you know, that when people are around me, that the way they feel is positive. So I want to be remembered as when people work with me or hang out with me, that those were the fun times.
Mm. And do you have something coming up, something you're organizing for the school? Or anything that you're passionate about, you want to tell people about it, I'll give you a couple of minutes to, you know, just plug something.
No, I'm not really much of a planner or, like, organizer.
Okay. Are you part of any groups or clubs over there?
And
the club's planning something that you can plug that?
Actually, no. I'm not part of any clubs. Okay. Well, I'm not, like, an active member of any of the clubs. My GA, I'm part of Carrie Collaboration Management Team, and we've got mock career fairs coming up that we're organizing. So I'm organizing that, but I don't want to like plug it because it's not that exciting.
Okay.
It's more of a mandatory thing.
So how should people who want to get in touch with you, talk to you about your experience, get like where are you more active on social media?
Facebook Messenger, I look at that. Instagram, I'm not as active, but you can also email me, andrew.b.munson@asu.edu. But Facebook Messenger, I would definitely check that every day if you want to get in touch, hear more.
All right, so that kind of brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks everyone for listening, and thanks Drew for coming in. Also, all the best to you at Amazon when you join.
Thanks, Drew.
It was wonderful talking to Drew about his backpacking adventures, and I hope someday I'll get the time and courage to do something like that. I wish you good luck for your future as you start a new chapter of your life at Amazon. They're available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, etc. I shall see you in the next one. Goodbye and peace.